If you'd like to be turning, we're going to turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And as we endeavor to open the scriptures this morning, in your presence, we trust, by the great help of the Lord. And I've already told you the wrong place. Where I want to go to is John chapter 7. I'm sorry. I also had Acts chapter 7 upon my mind, but that's not where we're going to turn to. But in John chapter 7, where we would begin this morning is in verse 37. John chapter 7, verse 37, starting. This morning, if I am able, by the great help of the Lord, to bring forth what's on my heart and mind, I'd like to try to speak to you upon the subject matter of the Holy Ghost, the third person of the triune God, of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, and the comforting agency of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, the endowment of power for service to the disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, as the scripture begins here, particularly in verse 37, and it's going to begin and speak to you about a great day of the feast. If you will look back just a little bit in verse 2, you'll notice what feast this is. And it says in verse 2, "Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand." This is that which is referred to in Scripture not as the Passover. It's not the Passover. It's not Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is the Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm not going to go into that. If you want to read a little bit more of that, you can certainly in different places in the Old Testament, but one place is Leviticus chapter 23. Is a good place for us to read concerning, and there were days and different things that happened on the different days. But on that last great day of the feast, now the scripture is very plain to tell us in verse 37, specifically the time period of this feast that is under consideration. Jesus, being a good Jew that he was, he kept the law to the jot and tittle. He attended these feast days and these festivals as they could be determined. Many of them were jubilant. This particular one was. This last great day of it was a day of holy convocation. There was very little civil or secular work to be done on this particular day. And at the end of this feast of this time period, there was the pouring out of the waters. And so this is very significant in what Jesus, and very appropriate for Jesus to stand in the last day, that great day of the feast. It was a holy convocation. It was a holy coming together and gathering together in a time of dedication and a time of rejoicing. For this particular feast of tabernacles. So the writer, by divine inspiration, here in John 7 and 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast. Now, what did Jesus do? The scripture says, now it's on this day. It wasn't the first day. It wasn't of any other time during this. But in this particular time, in this particular festival, and on this particular day, the last day of it, and it is the great day. It was the most important day of this particular feast of the Jews. They had many holy convocations. They had many feast times that could be considered many times of separation and of dedication to God of certain things. So it is under this circumstance, and the reason I belabor the point is for you to see the appropriateness for Jesus to stand. And notice this, Jesus stood and cried. Jesus stood and cried. A lot of times when Jesus taught, when Jesus spake, he did so sitting. But this is a time of urgency here. This is a time of great setting forth that Jesus is going to emphasize that he not only stood, but he cried. He cried. He spoke loudly. He spoke very zealously. He spoke straightforward. And this is the message that Jesus had when he spake at this particular time. It was an appointed time and very appropriate for what Jesus is going to say. And so here is the message. Here is what Jesus cried out unto the hearers and said, if any man thirst, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Notice this. Notice this invitation that Jesus is giving here. And he's giving it. There is the Jewish history and tradition of the pouring out of the waters at this last time. This last day of this particular feast of tabernacles that is under consideration. So there's water that is there. But Jesus, he is going to take and use this natural time to teach a great spiritual lesson, and says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man, I'm thankful for that. If any man, but here's the qualifier. If any man thirst, thirst, amen, qualifies this. If any man, Jew or Gentile, for this of the Holy Ghost, this of the Comforter, this of the church age is going to come not only to the Jews. Now it came first to the Jews, even as the apostle spoke that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the gospel message was first to the Jew. They had the birthright. So therefore, we see a remnant. We see an ingathering of them into the gospel kingdom, into the gospel church. But when Jesus cries here and says, if any man, and I can hear it ringing in my ears, Jew or Gentile, amen, if any man thirst, thirst is the qualifier. Oh, it's not limited to Jew, but Gentiles are included. And this is not only male, but female. If any man, if any woman thirst, the cry is, the message is for them to come unto the water. Amen. Who is the water? Who is the supplier of this water? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the scripture is going to go on and it's going to interpret itself. It's going to give us more information here to help us to understand this as Jesus gives forth this invitation and says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, he that believeth on me. This is another qualifier. Amen. One that thirst, but also to one that believes. Amen. A disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. He that believeth, E-T-H, he that is in a state of belief. He that has a mindset of belief. What is this? As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Notice this. Notice verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit. Amen. This spake he of the Holy Ghost. He is not talking about here regeneration. He is not speaking here of being born again, being resurrected or brought from a state of dead and trespass and sin. And no, he's talking to folks that are alive in a spiritual context. Amen. He's talking to folks that are thirsting. For we know that only the living can thirst. And only also the qualifier of one that is in a state of belief. Amen. One that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and has a desire to follow him. He's talking about something, amen, that is further on in a way of discipleship, in a way of obedience, in a way of coming to Christ. Now we know that in regeneration, all that the Father gave him are going to come to him. Jesus plainly says that in the previous chapter. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Amen. This is the elect of God. Everyone in regeneration in a passive way. Not by their own desire, not by their own ability, amen, but by the drawing power of the Father, will come to Christ. That is absolute. But here, amen, this is not absolute, but this is an invitation. Amen. This is, and it goes beyond that. It's a command to those that if you thirst and that if you believe on me, you can come unto me. And what will take place out of his belly. Amen. That's a word and a reference there talking about innermost being. Out of your inward part, out of that very new creation in Christ Jesus, out of that seat, S-E-A-T, out of that seat of affection, amen, that spiritual affection, amen, that love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, out from that will flow rivers of living water. Now, what about that? Amen. Isn't that great? Amen. What Jesus is saying here, Jesus is saying to the poor and the needy. Amen. You thirst. You can come to me and drink. I am the one that will supply the need. I'm the one that will supply the water. You know, the great leader and prophet, old brother Moses, back over in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, here he spake and said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Amen. Moses is prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is going to raise up, amen, among the Jewish people, up. And of course we know that he came up out of the root and the stem of Jesse and of David. And God raised him up as a root out of a branch that springs forth and comes forth out of dry ground. Why? Because he has the substance, he has the water, he has the life in himself. Are we thankful for that this morning? That he is the one that quenches thirst. He is the one that provides the living water. And this spake he of the Spirit. This is the Spirit. Amen. He speaks of the Holy Ghost. He says, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Now, the scripture interprets itself there as he says in verse 39 of John 7, but this spake he of the Spirit. which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He was not finished with his earthly ministry. He had not been crucified and raised and glorified. He had not ascended back to the right hand of the Father. Amen. But when he was raised and glorified, amen, he spoke during them 40 days. He began to speak even right before his crucifixion about the Comforter, about the Paraclete, amen, about the one that would go along with, about the one that would give aid and strength, the one that would be a great source of power and encouragement to them, amen, which is the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost did not come into his ministering office in that sense until the day of Pentecost, to empower the gospel church to do that the Lord had ordained and set forth in his church. Amen. Now we're talking about that which is beyond regeneration. We're talking about in a way of discipleship. We're talking about that which you are blessed through a way of obedience. And I'll prove that out, for the good Lord willing, and be my helper as we go further along with this. But let me open the scripture in Isaiah chapter 41. I made reference about the poor and the needy, those seeking water. Notice what Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah chapter 41 in verse 17 and 18. I believe Isaiah is prophesying of a future time here. I believe Isaiah is talking about a time. Amen. You see, there's parallel and there's allegory. There's prophecy. There's a great spiritual lesson here that is taught upon natural things that they could understand. I don't believe that they understood the fullness of it. But now, see, us able to look back. You know, hindsight is 20/20, is it not? You know, there's a lot of things that you don't understand, because you haven't been in it or in the midst of it. You're not on the other side of it to look back upon it. But we have a great advantage. We have a great advantage here with the scriptures, and here on this side of the cross. Amen. To be able to look back. You see, we view back through the prophets. We view, amen, through the glasses of the New Testament. We have a great advantage. Certainly we do. It helps it to come into focus. It causes it, amen, to be able for us to see it and understand it in a more clear way, because we have this greater and more sure word of prophecy. Amen. That day star has arisen. The illumination and the light of understanding has come. The Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as I've said many times, the Old Testament and the New Testament goes together like a hand in a glove. But notice the language that the Lord blesses the old prophets there in Isaiah 41 and 17. When the poor and needy seek water. Now, is that not what Jesus is saying when he says, let him that is, if any man thirst, let him come. If any man thirst. And here the prophet says, when the poor and needy seek water. Amen. Here is the designated time. There's going to come a time. Amen. I believe he's talking about the gospel kingdom, the disciples of Christ that are going to seek water. Oh, the poor and the needy, those that feel themselves to be void and empty and of nothing of value to bring unto the Lord. And of course we don't. We're poor in that sense. We're poor in spirit. Oh, and we recognize that we have not even a fathering to pay. Amen. We don't even have a penny to pay. From that sense of that which would be acceptable with Almighty God. And surely we in this desert land stand in need of the water, amen, that the Lord gives, the great quenching of the thirst, as God's children live and sojourn here in this desert land. This world is a desert land, amen, in the sense, of God's people. It doesn't hold any water for us. No, it doesn't. It doesn't hold any bread for us. Amen. The Lord is our bread. Oh, the Lord is our water. You know how important natural water is to this natural body. You know how you need this natural water for the quenching of the natural thirst. Amen. So it is with our spiritual thirst. So it is with our spiritual hungering after the Lord and the things of God. And oh, that we are poor, that we are needy. Amen. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none. Oh, we may seek and look around us here in the natural, in the temple, and you won't find it. Amen. You're going to find it in the Lord. You're going to find it in the house of God. You're going to find it, amen, among the saints of God in obedience to the Lord to assemble and come together on the first day of the week and to endeavor to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen. Upon the command of Jesus Christ, you're going to find bread and you're going to find water. Amen. When you come in obedience to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We get mighty hungry and mighty thirsty. Amen. Here in this desert world. Well, here among the pressures and the confusion and the chaos and the spirit of fear. Well, that is so prevalent in this world. Antichrist, a world system. We get thirsty mighty quick. Well, but so when the poor and the needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Amen. This prophecy here is not talking about opening up natural supplies of water. Amen. We know God did that. We know God, amen, provided and gave natural water to the children of Israel. Amen. At different times and in different places in their journey. And they drank of a spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ that followed them. Amen. We know the Lord provided them an abundance of water when they were naturally thirsty and so forth. This is way on beyond that. The old prophet by the Spirit, amen, is looking forward. And by the Spirit of God is prophesied of an age of a gospel time. He doesn't call it that. He doesn't know to call it that. God doesn't give him that revelation. Oh, but by the Spirit, by understanding, and by being on this side of the cross, and by having the New Testament, and having the words of Jesus, we can look back and we can see very plainly, amen, what the Lord was saying through this old prophet at this particular time. I tell you, there's rivers. Oh, there's water, amen, in the spiritual experience of the kingdom of God. Amen. Even Psalm 46, there is a river. Amen. This river, it watereth. Amen. It makes glad. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. Amen. It flows, amen, from beneath of the throne of God. Amen. There is a great water source and supply. Amen. It is that spiritual water. All that the scriptures teach and speak to us so much about. While the abundance of natural water at that last great day of the feast was there, and it was being poured out of the pots, and they were seeing the natural, Jesus stands and he cries with a loud voice and says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Yeah. Oh, if you're thirsting spiritually,
Boy, if this world has parched your mouth and your throat, and your tongue is cleaving to the roof of your mouth, oh, then you need to come, amen, unto Jesus. It's not a one time, amen, coming. Regeneration is a one time, amen. But I tell you, being filled with the Spirit is over and over. And having the paraclete, amen, the one that goes along with, the great helper, the great assistant. We read of different places in Acts, even after the day of Pentecost, that when they came together and prayed, amen, after the initial filling of the Spirit, there were other times of the filling of the Spirit to the same people. Amen, to the same people. Acts chapter 4 is one such place. And then in Acts chapter 5, when the Apostle Peter is speaking of the Holy Ghost, he said concerning him of the Holy Ghost, whom the Father gives to them that obey. Your obedience is not involved in regeneration. Amen. Amen. Your obedience is not in that scenario. But what we're talking about here is, Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come. Yeah. Amen. There is an obedience there. There is a condition there. There is a coming in obedience to drink of this water. Well, and that's because you've got a thirst. And if you have a thirst, amen, for spiritual water, it's evidence that you are alive spiritually. Is it not? Sure it is. Just like a natural man, only one that is alive can thirst in a natural sense. A dead man does not thirst. Amen. After the natural water. And I tell you that one that is dead in trespass and sin, they will not thirst after spiritual water. No. Oh, and so if you're not thirsting, this call is not to you. Amen. If you're not thirsting, this call is not to you. But it must be. Amen. That there's some folks thirsting. Amen. For you're out here this morning. You've laid aside the things of this life in humble obedience to the command of Christ, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves. Amen. But to come and gather. Amen. Particularly on the first day of the week. Amen. Of every week. In humble obedience and come praying, expecting. And coming to the Lord to have the water of life and to have it freely. Oh, to drink of it until you're not thirsty anymore. But you know, as you go out, then you'll become thirsty. I have drinking water many times when I was thirsty, but you know I've gotten thirsty again. And so it is, as long as you live in this dreary desert world, you're going to continuously to thirst in a spiritual sense. And so it has to be a continuous coming. A continuous coming unto the Lord. But I'll open up rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I tell you, there hadn't been an open vision for nearly some 400 years between Malachi and the coming of John the Baptist. Oh, it was really a parched land, wouldn't it? Amen. Oh, but when the Lord Jesus come and started preaching his everlasting gospel, and when John appeared on the scene preaching him and baptizing them in the name of him that should come, as they believed on him that should come. Oh, I tell you, there was some water, amen, starting opening it up. And as Christ began, amen, his ministry and began to teach and to preach, there was fountains and streams beginning to open up. Amen, as he gave into the church apostles and gave into the church, amen, the different helps and gifts to supply the gospel church. And then the fullness of the Spirit after he was glorified. Amen. The Holy Ghost, the great comforter that came. Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father that he will send you another comforter. Oh, amen. Which is, amen, the blessed Holy Ghost, the third person of the office of the divine Godhead. Amen. We certainly believe these texts. We certainly believe what the Scripture teaches us. If you turn over just a couple of pages there in Isaiah chapter 43, starting with verse 18.
Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. I tell you, by divine inspiration, well, the prophet, amen, is prophesying, behold, I will do a new thing. Amen. The Lord is saying, and when you read this verse 18, it's not a question mark. He's telling them, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Period. Not a question like you should in this particular place. Remember it. You know, we know under other contexts and in other situations, in the Old Testament, there was a reminding, there was a remembrance, remembering things. In the New Testament, we've got about remembering things. Amen. But here, amen, the prophet, amen, he's telling of a day, amen, when the Lord is going to do a new thing. Notice, now it shall spring forth. Oh, now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? Now here's the question mark. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. Oh, the Lord has drink. Amen. He is drink. Amen. For his people. His people, his chosen people, his elect. Amen. That he's born of his spirit. Now, if they will heed the command, if they will heed the invitation, as I've told you, John chapter 6, verse 37 is not an invitation. But John chapter 7, amen, it is. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So here, when he says, the beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Now, well, I want to tell you, you know, don't get thrown off and miss the point of the message with the mention of these natural things, of these animals and so forth. But I will say this, that these things that he has mentioned among the children of Israel, they would have been considered unclean animals. And certainly they considered the Gentiles unclean animals, or unclean people, I should say, pardon me, unclean people, an unclean particular people. But so, the Lord, when he says, if any man, as I said, Jew or Gentile, if any man thirst, let him come. So we see the prophecy. We see the Lord foretelling, amen, of these blessed things, of this water, of this operation of the Holy Ghost. Then spake he of the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified. He spake of the Spirit when he talked about coming and drinking the water. Then spake he of the Spirit. The text interprets itself, amen, of what's under consideration. You know, I really love the words and prophecy of Joel. In Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, for the sake of time, we'll go to verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward. Now this is very plain to tell us that this is speaking of a distant time, several hundreds of years later. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. All kinds of flesh. Jews and Gentiles.
Yeah.
Man, so see, we just keep on hammering away at this. We just keep chipping away at it, and it just keeps giving more validity. See, it just keeps, amen, certifying, amen, the teaching that we are endeavoring to invoke. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters, as I said, male and female, your sons and daughters. In that upper room on the day of Pentecost, there were men and women there in Acts.
chapter 2.
That number of about 120. And here Joel prophesied, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. We know that there was some great mysterious things that happened in the first few years of the early church. And things that as they came along and panned out and God settled in and gave forth the scriptures and the setting forth for his church, which now we know it to be some 2,000 years. But there was some miraculous things and things that we don't see now, and some things that discontinued with the bringing in of the more perfect, which is the inspired word of God that was written in the New Testament and finally laid down. But now notice this. Don't get your mind. I don't want to get your mind off on something else by saying that. But just in this light of your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Amen. This began at Pentecost. Amen. There was a flickering. There was a small measure of this far as two individuals there in the 3.5 years. John the Baptist is coming in the ministry of Christ. Oh, but we see a mighty outpouring that came on the 50th day, on the day of Pentecost, as Acts chapter 1 says. But notice now in verse 30, when you get into this right here, it sets the time for me. It helps me to understand when Joel, the time period that he's speaking of, and more assurance. And of course, the Apostle Peter, by inspiration of God, gives us all the assurance when we need, when he says in Acts chapter 2, and this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Amen. So that gives us the perfect, amen, understanding of the time period and of when it happened in the fullness of this prophecy is speaking of. And this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. But it would be at the time when this would happen. Notice this. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned. This is symbolic language. All right? This is symbolic language. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. What is the great and terrible day of the Lord? Amen. That Joel is talking about. Amen. That comes. Amen. It is beginning with the day of Jesus coming here to this earth in that time of his ministry. And coming to the Jew first, to his people, and of course setting up his gospel kingdom during that time. But also, they crucify, they kill the Prince of Life. So therefore, the day of the Lord is going to come upon them. This is a sense of judgment that's going to come upon the Jewish nation. And of course, it came upon them in AD 70, which they had after the time of Jesus, that 40-year period, which 40 always represents a period, a opportunity, a time of the sending forth of the Lord's message to his people, to individuals, a time, a season that's given for repentance. But we know that as a people, as a nation, the Jewish people did not. God sent forth those apostles when he said, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. What is he talking about? Amen. He's talking about that known earth that they would go into, that known world there of Jews. And they would preach to them of Jesus. And that's what Mark says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. All right. That's in the context in which that is given. So, what is this about the sun being turned into darkness, the moon into blood? The stars from heaven falling. Peter goes through that on the day of Pentecost too. Remember the dream. And I may have mentioned this here before in passing and preaching, but remember the dream that Joseph had. Amen. Of the sun bowing down to him, which was his father, and the moon, his mother, bowing down, and the stars bowing down, which were his brethren. I believe that helps us to understand this. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Amen. Jacob, the sun representing Jacob. The moon there as it represented Joseph's mother. In other words, it going out, ceasing, began to cease, beginning the last and final days. Jesus came in the last days of that age, of that Jewish age. Amen. And then we see that judgment that came upon them. But the time setting is there. And as Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, saith God, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. He went through the same thing here that old brother Joel went through with. Yeah. Amen. So he gives us the time that is under consideration. So it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit. Amen. You will see this language pour out. Amen. This is why Jesus stood on the last great day of that Feast of Tabernacles. Yeah. Amen. Oh, for they understood the pouring out from pots. They understood the pouring out from vessels. Amen. That God's going to pour out His Spirit. It's going to be an abundance. It's going to be a greatness. It's going to be an endowment of power. Amen. For service. To empower them and give them that power for service. Amen. I want to tell you, it is also to us. He has not left. It is not the same measure, but it is the same Holy Ghost. Amen. It is the same. Amen. In a smaller measure of everything that we're going over and having under consideration. And when Jesus gives and sets this forth, you know, even old brother John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, he had these words. Now let me ask you a question before I read this. Based on what we have read in scriptures, based on what John the Baptist said and preached and so forth, and when he saw many of those Pharisees come out to his baptism and he wouldn't baptize them, and he told them, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. Don't you feel that John the Baptist only baptized those? And the Bible says that he baptized them as they confessed and believed on him that should come. Amen. Don't you believe that John had a good evidence? Amen. And for the sake of better words, had a good feeling. Amen. About the ones that he was baptizing. Amen. Were children of God. And they were bearing evidence that they were children of God that he had baptized. I think so. All right. But he tells them something here. I indeed baptize you with water, here in Matthew 3 and 11 now. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now this is something they didn't have. This is something they didn't know about. This is something that in other words, this teaches me that it's beyond what they've experienced. They've experienced regeneration. That's why, based on their fruit, based on them believing on Christ, that should come, and a baptism of repentance, a turning, a change in the mind, and a turning, amen, in a way toward God, in the ways of God, as John preached to them. They'd only done it if they had a new heart. They would have only been able to do that having been regenerated. So he's talking to regenerated folks. But he's telling them, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall. Future. He shall. Hadn't happened yet. But he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus is the administrator. Jesus is the baptizer.
John was the administrator of water baptism. He was the baptizer with water baptism. But now he's talking about Jesus Christ, of the one that should come. He shall baptize you. He'll be the administrator. Amen. He'll be the baptizer. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we have Brother John, amen, speaking of this. Now let's move on. In John chapter 14 and verse 16. Notice what Jesus says. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter. He shall give you another paraclete. He'll give you another aid, another strength, another one that goes along with, that he may abide with you forever, that you will have the abiding of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter preached to them on the day of Pentecost and told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now I tell you, amen, when those people cried out, I preach it, old Baptist, old line, old Baptist, the way we preach it, those folks were born again children of God, were they not? Yes. Amen. So Peter wasn't talking about, and they're the only ones that can repent. So Peter wasn't talking about regeneration. Oh, but he tells them that if you will, through obedience, do what I'm telling you to do. You've cried out and you've said, men and brethren, what must we do? And Peter told them what to do. And he said, if you'll do it, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You'll receive this blessing, amen, in the Spirit of God, in obedience and discipleship in the church of Jesus Christ, as you drink this water, amen, and eat of the Lord Jesus, and consecrate and dedicate your life in service to him. You'll have power, you'll have the comfort, you'll have the strength, you'll have the help that you need. You'll have the fellowship of the Spirit. How do we have the fellowship of the Father and the Son? Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Amen. We have the fellowship. How does the Lord walk in the midst of his church? By his Spirit. By his Spirit. So Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. Who is truth? Who does the Bible say truth is? Oh, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. The truth personified is Jesus Christ. Even the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. In his agency, amen, Jesus said that he would, amen, come unto them again. How did he come unto them again? He came unto them, amen, in that of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, to abide with them, to rest with them. He is with them. And when we have fellowship through obedience, amen, through the waves of discipleship and entering in at the straight gate, amen, of the narrow way, oh, and building here in the sands of Christ, and building upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have the aid and the comfort and the strength of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God this morning. I'm not ashamed to say Holy Ghost. The Bible says Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. John said he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The Holy Ghost is he is also a purging agent. Amen. A purifying. When we have the fellowship of the Spirit, it will help us, amen, to keep ourselves, amen, from the filth and contamination and the dross of this old world. Amen. Help keep us purged. He didn't say he baptized you with the Holy Ghost and deep freeze. He said he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. And Jesus talked to them, amen, about the indubitable power of the Holy Ghost, that he would be power unto them. Notice in verse 17 of John 14, Jesus said, even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him,
For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Shall be in you.
Oh, that's just what I was saying. This shows distinctly. Yeah. Distinctly that the Lord is talking about, as Peter called, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In that sense, he shall be in you. Now, don't you think that these apostles that Jesus is speaking to here, don't you think they're already born again? Well, sure they are. Amen. But here's a blessing. Amen. If they will do what the Lord said for them to do, and the Lord told them what to do. He said to go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Notice in verse 26 of this same chapter 14, but the Comforter, the Paraclete, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The apostles had that gift of the Spirit in a great way, in a great measure. This is another work, another operation of the agency of the Holy Ghost. Remember, Jesus said to those apostles, think not what you will say when you, in other words, stand before the authorities, when you stand before kings and say so far, for in that self same hour, I will give you that which to say. He would fill their mouth. Now, we don't have it in that sense. The apostles had it in that great sense. As I said unto you earlier, this is one of those things that is the divine scripture came along in the settling out after those first few years into the gospel church age, the kingdom there. Now the apostle Paul, amen, tells the ministers, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I have to study, I have to dig hard, I have to continuously go back to get refreshed. I'm not in that same age. I'm not an apostle. Amen. No, 1,000 times no, and I don't have it that way. But I want to tell you, there's a little bit. Amen. Peter, an apostle, said we preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. I want to tell you, even still today, if there's any preaching done, real preaching, it's by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. It's not in the same measure the apostles had it. Amen. But it'll be in a lesser measure. Oh, yes, I know there's quote-unquote religious presentations. There's PowerPoint. There's an introduction and 5 points and a good conclusion. There's public speaking. There's all those kind of things. Amen. I'm not good at any of them. If anything, I'm just a country preacher. Amen. But you know, that's all right. If I feel what I feel in my soul right now, and if I can, amen, try to speak forth, amen, after studying and digging and begging and pleading with God, and then to feel something rising up in my soul and be able to stand and to speak to you these things from the scripture, amen, and try to teach you boldly from the word of God, then I'm satisfied and I'm pleased with that. Amen. Amen. Every man in his own place. We all stand in our own place where the Lord and the gift that we have. But nevertheless, the Lord, this was so strong to those apostles, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've commanded you. I tell you, the Holy Ghost is still a teacher. Amen. He still illuminates and enlightens us in the scriptures. And he's still the one that blesses you. You see, just as I need the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, amen, to preach. Amen. You need the Holy Ghost, amen, for him to enlighten, to illuminate, amen, to open your eyes, to bless you. Amen. As the word of God comes forth and it's you, amen, look and see if these things be so. To be fed under that umbrella of gospel preaching. The Lord has so ordained it. The Lord has so appointed it. That's God's design. That's the message. That's the method that God has instituted in his church. And if anybody don't like it, they just have to take it up with God, I guess. Amen.
Don't take it up with me. I didn't originate it. I didn't design it. Amen. But God designed this. Amen. This thing of preaching, I've never figured it out and probably never will, Brother Kevin. Amen. But I tell you, I do like to try when the Lord gets to moving in my heart. Most of the time before getting up, I'll just say all the time. Amen. To some degree. Amen. There's a knot in my stomach. There's a lump in my throat. But you know, I hope it's always there. Amen. Because if it's ever gone, I fear what might happen. Amen. We need to always realize that our dependency is in the Lord. Our dependency is in the Lord our God. A page over in John 15 and 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Amen. This is whom the Holy Ghost testifies. This is whom the Word of God testifies. Why does the Scripture testify of Christ? Because holy men of God wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Jesus, speaking of the Scriptures, said, and these are they that testify of me. Yeah. Amen. Well, I tell you, all through this Bible, all through the Old Testament, amen, it testifies. These are they. That's what they had when Jesus said that. These are they that testify of me. Jesus said, you think you have your eternal life in them. They are the ones that testify of me. Yeah. Amen. Jesus is that eternal life, not the Scriptures. Right. Amen. The Scriptures testify of the eternal life. They testify of Christ, but Christ is the eternal life. And he is the giver to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given unto me. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 17. All right. When he said there in 17 and... in 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, and of course, he is the God that cannot lie, that promised eternal life before the world began. Amen. All right. Thirdly, we need to turn back just a little bit. I want to go back to Luke. In Luke, the closing out of that writing, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. This is a command that Jesus gave them. Amen. The Holy Ghost was not yet given because Christ was not yet glorified. But after he was glorified, after he was raised from the dead and glorified, and God declared him both Lord and Christ, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, he's glorified. Sit down on the right hand of the Father. But he had already prayed to the Father. He said he had prayed to the Father that the Father would give them another comforter, that he would abide with them forever. Oh, you know, Jesus had the assurance. He'd already prayed to the Father. He had the assurance before he ever left here. He had to have had the assurance that the Holy Ghost was coming because he said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. So see, he had already prayed to the Father. They're three in one. The unity in the Godhead. The same purpose, the same will. And we've already went through that. But so then in Acts chapter 1, notice what Jesus said to them. And this will go back in Acts chapter 1, start with 5 and verse 4. And this will go back to what John said. And Jesus invokes the words of John the Baptist. Starting in Acts 1 and 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem,
But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So here we have another testimony of the promise of the Father. Jesus said in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water. Now, see, this is how we know the fulfillment. The scripture interprets itself. All right? This is how we know what John was talking about. Because Jesus goes back and references it in this context. In this context. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And Jesus told him in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Notice that. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And that's what I was referring to earlier during that period of 40 years. They went into that uttermost part of the earth. Paul preached and said that their sound hath gone into all the earth. Have they not heard? Yes, I say they've heard. Yeah. Romans chapter 10. Y'all remember them lessons. So, I think we will, as we come to the close, let me just give you two other verses to help tidy up what we have said. I mentioned back somewheres in this discourse about that this is a continuous coming and being watered. We thirst, we have to keep coming back. They were filled in Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you remember that text when the scripture, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared in them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
All right? They were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. The blessing in obedience. For they had went and tarried, as Jesus had told them to go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Brothers and sisters, we still have to have power that is outside of us, but it's in us now. Amen. What I'm talking about is not of us. It's not natural. We have to have that power that is not from a natural source in order for us to walk in the Spirit and to conduct ourselves in a way that becometh and that we are disciples indeed.
Yeah.
We can't do that in the flesh. We can't do that in the flesh nature. It's contrary. The Spirit in the flesh is contrary one to another. Certainly it is. But now, remember after the healing of the lame man in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, they came back to the church after they are delivered and come back. They come back to the church. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. After they had went through that tribulation, that trial, after they had encountered the opposition that they encountered after the healing of the lame man, they needed to drink again. They needed, amen, to be lifted up and encouraged and strengthened again. So when they assembled together, they prayed. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Here's the same people getting filled again. All right? And then one last verse. I mentioned to you, this is obedience. And Peter told them something to do on the day of Pentecost. It was something they needed to do. That if they did it, they'd have the gift. They would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost here. After they had once again had other oppositions. And we have Peter preaching. In verse 29, he said, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Then in verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him.
Yeah.
Peter declares here the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey. Remember, there's no obedience. There's no obedience. The only obedience involved in your eternal salvation was the obedience of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Was the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
But in this gift of the Holy Ghost, amen, he tells you to obey. Amen. Be a disciple indeed. Do the things of Christ. And you'll have the blessing of the gift of the Holy Ghost. You'll have the fellowship of the Father and the Son through the Spirit. You'll have the encouragement. You'll have the paraclete. You'll have him evidently manifested, obviously, the heartfelt presence as he goes along with you, comforting you and in encouraging you and in doing you with power, with that dunamis, that dynamite, explosive power. Amen. While we live right here to be his disciples. All right. God bless you is my prayer.
Amen.
Let's stand together.